Hello and welcome to Good Questions, Real Answers. I'm Kimberly with Lion and Lamb Ministries. This is Monty Judah, our director. Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
Happy spring, almost summer to you.
Well, yes, it's time to start growing tomatoes.
I know. My mother's very excited.
Yes. Too.
I got her a set of pansies the other day.
Really?
Yes.
She's excited. Those are flowers, folks.
Yes. She's excited to put those in and excited to get her tomatoes going.
Yeah. Yep. Pansies are pretty hardy plants. It's hard to hurt them.
They're my favorites.
Are they?
Yes. That's my favorite flower.
Well, we've come to that station in life where we just like to grow things.
That's right. Amen. That's right. All right. Shall we grow in learning from our questions? Oh, how was that for a segue?
It's stunning.
Right. We are having too much fun today, folks. Let me just say.
Shabbat shalom, by the way.
Yes, Shabbat shalom. We hope you're having a great Sabbath. And here we go with the first one.
All right.
All right. From Tammy. What is meant by camps of the righteous? Where in the scriptures does that explain?
That is not in the scripture. That is an expression that I originated.
Yes.
To explain the concept of believers going into camps in fulfillment of the prophecy of the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, when you go to the Feast of Tabernacles, you go into a camp environment. Well, that camp is full of righteous believers. So I referred to it as the camp of the righteous. And so if you have multiples of them, we call the camps of the righteous.
There we go.
So that's just an expression, just like if somebody were to say the saints or the brethren or the remnant or whatever, that's the expression I came up with. It's not a biblical term. It's a descriptive term for some of the biblical concepts.
Yes. I love that expression, by the way. I like it. That and the greater Exodus, I think it all works together.
Well, they're terms that try to encapsulate several prophecies.
Yes. All right. Well, there you have it, Tammy. Moving on to our question from Eric.
All right.
He asks, when it comes to keeping Sabbath, I understand that Moses had said the thing that is getting, he understood what Moses said about that. But the thing that's getting him a little bit confused is the verse in scripture where Mark says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the son of Adam is also the Adon of the Sabbath. He needs some explanation about that.
Well, if you look at the creation sequence, man was created first, then the Sabbath was created.
Yes.
So from the sheer syntax of the creation story, the sequence of events, you'd have to say, well, the Sabbath came along after for the benefit of man. So that's part of what that statement is about. But there's an even deeper thing is that the Sabbath is not to be viewed as a burden.
Right.
You know, obeying the commandments of the Lord, some people think it's a burden. They think it's a grievous thing. Well, if it's a grievous thing to you, that's reflective, for the disobedience in your heart.
Yeah.
Obeying the commandments is supposed to be a delight to you. Keeping the Sabbath is supposed to be a delight.
Yes.
Isaiah 58 talks about if you treat the Sabbath as a delight, I'll cause you to ride on the heights of the earth. So that's part of what that is. And when he also reinforces that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, well, that's what we're supposed to be pursuing. That's our primary goal, is to serve the Lord. And he's the one that created it, and he's the one that blessed it. It's for our benefit. You know, the things that God has done is for our benefit. And it's really an attitude toward the Sabbath and all of the festivals, an attitude toward all the commandments of God. These were done for our benefit and for our help. Let me just go ahead and just tell you right now, if we didn't have the commandments of God, this would be a miserable place to try to live in.
You know what it reminds me of? It's A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies, but it reminds me when he sees the world as it would have been if he hadn't come along.
Right.
That dark place where nobody cares about anybody else. Everybody's running around.
Everybody hurts each other.
Yes. That's kind of what that reminds me.
Exactly. When you live in a lawless place, when you live in a place that doesn't have rules, it's a terrible thing.
It is.
And God gave those things so that we might live That's one of the things we're trying to overcome for a lot of Christian folks that are coming back in and looking at the Torah again, is we've got to overcome this stigma, because they've been told that these commandments are grievous, nobody can keep them, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the negative stuff about it. Oh, who wants to do that clean, unclean stuff? You know, excuse me, God gave that for our benefit, and you are losing out on the blessings of the benefit because you're listening to a different voice dispute and disagree with God.
That's right.
You cannot possibly be righteous and correct if you find yourself arguing with the Lord and His instructions.
Ooh, that's also a very daunting thought, to argue with the Lord.
It is.
Ooh.
Amen.
Mm. But we love Sabbath.
Amen. It's a delight.
Yes, it is a delight.
And you're not really keeping it until it becomes a delight.
That's right.
I mean, you're learning about it, but the idea is for it to be a true delight for your house.
We really celebrate it at our house. We love it.
We look forward to the Sabbath.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some weeks where I really look forward to the Sabbath.
That's right. And say, thank you, Lord, that today is Sabbath.
Thank you, Lord, the Sabbath is coming.
Yes, indeed. Okay. This question comes from Larry. And he is referencing a couple of scriptures, one from Isaiah, one from Luke. And he says, was the book of Isaiah handed to Jesus with the expectation that he would read the designated passage for that Sabbath's Torah reading cycle? Or was this an unrestricted, unstructured reading time?
I love this question. I really do. It's a very, very perceptive question.
Yes.
The passage he read from is Isaiah 61, mm-hmm. and a lot of Christians don't know this. There is a set of teachings that come in the seven Sabbaths just prior to the Feast of Trumpets every year. Mm-hmm. It comes in late summer. There's seven particular Sabbaths, and they are referred to as the Haftorahs of Consolation. And Isaiah, those latter chapters, including there at Isaiah 61, is part of that. That is believed to be the oldest sermon in all of the teaching of the Bible.
Wow.
Those seven Sabbaths. It's the story of redemption. So when Yeshua grabbed that scroll, it was handed to him, that was the reading at that time. It's the heart of the teaching of the Haftorahs of Consolation. It's one of the oldest sermon in the Bible.
Wow.
And if you start studying the Torah and find out about the Haftorahs, you'll learn all about this. This is well known. It's been around for a very long time. And it's from those chapters that many of those verses are quoted in the New Testament, as a part of explaining what the Messiah did as the work of redemption.
Yes.
That particular one where he actually announced who he was, you know, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Well, yes. He's basically saying in plain sentence, I'm the anointed one. Mm-hmm. I'm the Messiah. And it states certain things that he came to do, which is exactly what Yeshua came to do. So the quick answer is that was the reading at that time of the year. That was not just some free-for-all that he decided, I'm going to pick a different book of the Bible. Mm-hmm. No, that was the structure. And we know, following the annual cycle, that that was in the time frame of the August and early September time frame.
Okay.
In our calendar for it. So, but it's very perceptive. By the way, if you've not ever had a study on and someone teach you the Haftorahs of Consolation, those seven passages mm-hmm. out of Isaiah, that's a fascinating study of itself about Isaiah and about yes. how it fits into the work of the Messiah.
Yes, and this year, folks, I know some those of you who are following our Erev Shabbat broadcast, you know that we are covering the Haftorahs this year. And so as we approach that date,
we'll come up.
Yes.
That will come up.
That'll be fascinating.
And you'll hear me talk about the Haftorahs of Consolation.
Yes. And additionally, in our Lion and Lamb archive on lionandlamb.tv, you can watch the insights
of Isaiah.
Yes.
We go through it in quite a bit of detail there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, do we know what Parsha that is that week? Do you recall?
Not right off the bat, because there's seven of them. I think it starts with Ikev
okay.
and goes all the way through just before Nitzarim.
Okay.
And which is the standing, and that's always the Sabbath just before trumpets.
All right.
So it's those seven Sabbaths in there, and we call them Haftorahs of Consolation because they're very positive messages.
We love that.
They console you. Yes. You know, the consolation of Israel.
Yes. Well, we'll look forward to that.
All right.
Next question. This is from Katrina. Katrina asks, in the Torah portion, Shemot, which is Exodus 15, verse 26, Moshe urges Israel to listen to Yah's commands and guard his laws so the Egyptian plagues won't fall on them. The Torah wasn't written by Yah on the tablets yet, so what has passed down through Adam to Abraham to Isaac for this to be said? Also, Moshe wasn't entirely raised by a Hebrew mom. You know, he was under the influence of the Pharaoh's household. She's wondering about all of that.
Well, if you go back and you take the same question and you ask it, you know, what was the spiritual instruction before Moses came along?
Yes.
And there's certain names that pop up. Enoch, before the flood,
yes,
apparently was a very godly man. And in fact, God took him up.
Yes.
Didn't suffer death. And after the flood, then you have, obviously, you have a man named Shem, one of the sons of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And Shem came from before the flood and apparently carried some of the message and the teaching. And we actually believe that Shem may have been responsible for some of the teaching of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Wow.
That he lived that long.
Wow.
And Jews in Judaism advocate that the Melchizedek guy that Abraham paid tithes to was actually Shem.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I mean, but Shem was a key player.
Wow.
And he was sharing